Welcome back to Coffee Shop Connections. We have a great episode in store for you. We're going to be talking about coaching and development of staff, just in case something were to happen and someone were to get promoted or leave, or there are different changes in the organization, how to best support your leaders to lead if you're not there. So grab your favorite cup of coffee, a biscotti, and enjoy the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Coffee Shop Connections. I'm Erin, here with my co-host Ashley, and today we are bringing you a topic of conversation that we've been having recently on the side of coaching and development through the eyes of succession planning. What happens when changes are made in the organizational structure? Who's ready? And how do you get people ready to take those roles when there's a big shift in the organization? So Ashley, how is your morning going?
I'm having a good morning so far. I'm excited about this topic. Like you said, we've been talking about this on the, you know, offshoot of this and just waiting for the right moment to kind of talk about it. But it's, I'm feeling good. I've been sick for the last couple of weeks and feeling back to my normal self, which is exciting because that means the brain's working. I have energy. I got my coffee and, you know, temperatures here warming up. So I don't have any complaints. What about you?
Oh, it's a great morning. I don't know if I've mentioned, I have one of those sunrise alarm clocks. Have I talked about this?
Yeah.
And so it's an alarm clock that instead of just giving you the loud noises, it has like a gentle ambient light that starts in the room and it starts at a really deep red and it's supposed to mimic the sunrise and then it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So that, if you have trouble getting up in the morning, I highly recommend it because it is super helpful. I think mine was a Philips. I don't know. It's like $100, but it was so worth it. And it just makes my morning wake up so much easier. So if you need
to ask, do you have birds that come with it?
Oh yeah. They chirp.
Like, you can do the chirping.
It does do the chirping. I set it to the chirping. You can do like the normal like meh, meh, meh sound, but, I like the birds. So it'll light. I typically wake up before the birds and because the light is so bright. Yes. And my room is really dark right now. It doesn't work as well in summer because my room is always already light and I'm not sleeping because it's so bright out. But you can tell I'm a very light sensitive person. Anyway, it is wonderful. Highly recommend it, especially if you're on shift work. I just think back to all the times that I was getting up at like 4 a.m. for work when I was early in my career, and this would have made my life a little bit more peaceful in the morning. So
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that too. I was like, God, I used to get up at like same thing, 4 o'clock, or to get in at 5, start taping ankles and be ready to go. Right. And recently we don't have your cool alarm thing, but we are changing our blinds in our bedroom, and Lowe's didn't have the middle section of our blinds that we were supposed to have. So we have two blinds on one side and then the middle one's just empty right now. And it's been, we're past like the dark period. And so we've been naturally getting up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock, especially now with the birds are chirping and the weather's changing. But I noticed like I am so much happier naturally getting up with the sun than I am when it's dark and cold and I'm like, oh God, there's my alarm again.
So circadian rhythm is for real. Like it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. It's a real thing. So, might have to look into that.
I just keep not having blinds. I love it. Don't have blinds. Don't do that to yourself.
I know.
Cause then you won't sleep, especially when the moon is really bright.
You know, it lights your room up. It does. We've had a full moon here and it's like real bright. But into succession planning and coaching and development, because we could probably talk about other things for a really long time. That's really why we keep delaying. But I think it's a really hot topic of like, how do you empower your staff to basically lead if you're not there? Or how do you also make sure your staff on the daily knows what to do in case you want to grow your leaders into, you know, other leadership positions. And so how to get them there, what happens, you know, when change management happens, we know that there's change, things get shifted around a lot typically. And how to kind of navigate those waters and how to really succeed in those things and keep your business moving, keep it steady, and also be able to empower staff that want to move up the food chain per se.
Yeah, I totally think that this is an HR strategy that will help with recruitment and retention, because you have so many employees who are quiet quitting for many reasons, but I don't want to say it's like dangling the carrot in front of the horse's mouth, you know, but it is one of those things that if you have line of sight of what your future looks like, then you're more willing to do the extra work required to get there. And if you can't see any benefit to doing the extra work, then why are you going to do it as an employee? So I think that's part of that whole shift in strategy of, it's not just when it comes up. So a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, this person left. I don't know what to do. Now I've got to fill this hole. This person's not trained for that job. And it's chaos for the first 90 days while you try and get someone up and running. And then the first year, really, until they really understand the role. And then it's like this cycle, right? But if you think about it intentionally, plan it, and then have people identified for those high risk roles that may open up, then you can get someone trained, ready to go prior to that person leaving. It's a good management practice if you have the system set up.
Yeah. And I think it's like, when you talk about it, that's a thing. I've been doing a lot of interviews recently, and that's the thing that people come up, like, what are your leadership tracks? Is there any area for professional growth? You know, and these are things that we talk about that people are looking for when you're defining culture and you're defining, you know, career development for folks, is how do we get you into a position where we don't lose that time frame. Like Aaron said, those first 90 days, that first year is typically a wash because you're learning the position and teaching someone how to be a leader. Because most people we develop into supervisor roles or leadership roles sometimes might have not had any type of leadership experience. They might have the traits for it or the personality, but never actual any like training or like, hey, let's give you these situations and let's work through how would you manage this? What would you do? And really look at the different assessments that you can use as a leader and in management to assess staff and change and processes. And so if that's something when you're working with staff of identifying, oh, this person's kind of shining out, like staff takes to them, they're like your connectors, or people go to them and solve problems, like, hey, let's cue into that person and talk to them. Like, hey, is there any interest in leadership? Or do you have any interest in, like, what are your career goals? Let's look to figure out how to get you to those goals. Maybe it's setting up a plan of, hey, you're going to jump on some meetings with me just to see what you think. Hey, let's do a SWOT analysis. Hey, let's do, really, where do you want your career track to go? What do you want it to look like? And how do myself as your supervisor slash leader get you to that path within the organization, because we want to retain you. And then looking for those opportunities that if someone leaves, you can easily already have someone kind of prepped to take that position per se.
Yeah. And it's so critical that you get the employees' feedback on this. So I love that Ashley's talking about collaborating with the employee, determining what their path is, because so often we can think of someone, especially if they're a high potential or high achieving employee, you're like, oh man, this person is great. They would make a great leader. They may not want that. It may not be something that they in their personal life are ready to take on right now because of this season of life that they're in. It may be something that they just have tried before and don't want to do again. It could be that they don't feel like they're ready for it and they don't see the path. So there are many reasons why people would turn down those roles, especially when you're moving from an independent worker to a frontline supervisor. Let's be honest, the frontline supervisors, that role usually gets the hard end of the stick in terms of it's the worst.
Worst. You're not even in middle management. You're in lower management.
You have basically no authority. You're being told what to do from the top down, but everyone from the bottom up is pissed because they don't like the new changes. And you often work longer hours. And if you were an hourly employee, you probably made more because you had a higher overtime rate, and then you lose that going to supervisor. So that's like the hardest role to recruit and retain for. And if you don't have that next path forward for them, they might be like, this is lame. Why am I doing this? This is the worst job ever. So that's where those conversations come in into play, and getting their thoughts on what they want to do. Because mm-hmm. if they really don't want to do it and you force them into that role, guess what they're going to do?
It's going to tank and they're going to leave, or it's not going to run well, or you're going to have a lot more problems in the end.
Everyone's life is going to be worse, and nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's one of those things, like, really listen to staff and like what they want. And even if you have somebody that wants, you're like, okay, let's figure out how to get you in leadership experiences. I mean, sometimes you get into a position because you're like, this is going to get me into a track where I can jump to be, you know, get out of that lower management to middle management, and realize, oh, this might not have been the right position for me, but I'm going to learn through it. I might fail. We talk about failing all the time, but that enables you to grow as a leader, enables you to grow and learn from your mistakes, that makes you better for that next position. But I think it's really being truthful and seeking that mentorship from somebody that's been in the position before, of like really asking, like, what happens when you hit that wall of going, this isn't working? How do I reevaluate, still use my skills to get through this position, and like collaborate with your leader of like, okay, let's figure out a different pathway for me. That same thing with that career development. You're still supporting someone in a role, even if they're not doing well, to figure out to get them to the position that they will succeed. Because there's a lot of positions out there that you might be a great leader, but just not in that role, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally. So if you look at the organizational setup, right, you have, let's say, directors of marketing, directors of quality, directors of finance, directors mm-hmm. of operations, and it's the same level of leadership. They have the same base, you know, number of employees underneath them. They all have targets that they have to meet. But the mindset of a quality person is going to be very different than a mindset of a marketing person, right? Quality is black and white. It's rigid. It's following process and procedures. It's usually dealing with people who are upset because the quality isn't good. So it's, you know, very compliance-based, I want to say almost negative. Quality usually gets the short end of the stick.
They do.
Because they're fixing mistakes, right? Well, marketing is like creative. It's free-flowing. It's, you know, energizing. You're creating hype around the role, and it's a completely different mindset. So if you have a really positive person who the next role up for them is the director of quality, let's say, they might be a really bad fit because they don't have that technical skill or the culture that needs to be in the quality role. And it could be really hard. Now, it could be a great learning session for them. But if you are targeting someone to go into that role because of the learning, because that's something that they need for the next level up, like let's say it's a VP of the next role, and you have to understand quality to get there, that needs to be outlined. Like, you need to have that outline and say, okay, like, we understand if you want to get through to the VP level, then you need to understand this role. You need to understand it well. It's not mm-hmm. going to be an easy ride because of these reasons. Are you still game for it? And really make sure that that's outlined, because you don't want to take someone by surprise.
No, you don't. You want to be as transparent as you can when you're talking about career development.
And same thing with when you're assessing who can go in that role, being realistic of that employee's coachability. Are they someone who easily takes feedback, adjusts, or are they someone who takes feedback and kicks it back and is like, no, that's terrible advice, I'm not doing that. Can they roll with it and be positive through that experience? Or is it just going to be a nightmare of a time? And it's going to take them longer because they're fighting what they have to do. So mm-hmm. you have to really yeah. assess that in the person as well. That's not a hard, like, technical skill. That's a soft skill. And a lot of leadership is soft skill. So it's assessing those smaller, nuanced behaviors into the roles.
Yeah, you definitely want someone that's a collaborator, or at least in my opinion, right? Somebody that I'm looking for supervision or to be in those supervisory leadership roles is, how do we collaborate and how do we learn from each other? Because I want someone to be able to feel comfortable and create the space where you feel safe, right? You also need to have that collaboration of, okay, you're the one taking the feedback, the process changes down to your team. How do you hold your team accountable? But also, how do you challenge something back to me in a way that helps me grow and also look at things when they're not working and being able to establish that trust. And that's where Aaron's talking about that personality, that soft skills of, do you have the soft skills to be able to be challenged, accept the feedback, take the feedback and run, and also provide it back, and also not be critical or be jaggedy per se. I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but like, how do you work as a team instead of being, you know, off on your own island?
Absolutely. And I think when you look at that immediate need, the first 90 days, how do we do things when there's a gap in the organization, especially if it's unexpected, because someone leaves to go to a different organization, or, you know, tragedy happens.
Medical issue. I mean, that happened with me, is like, what happens when your leader is gone because they have a medical issue, and who falls into place there and what happens?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's, when you're coaching and developing, there's the soft skill set that you have to work through of their influence, communication skills, all of those things. But there's also the very hard technical roles of the job. And this is where I challenge, we don't, as an organization, have good systems in place or train systems. So Ashley just gave me this really big laughing smile face. So
this is an area where I've found that I've really enjoyed.
So you can create systems, you can create standard works that provide the information needed so that if you are gone or if that person is leaving, there's at least a guideline or a template of what you should be doing. And I was thinking through this the other day, and Ashley, you may look at me like I'm crazy, but this was my thought process of, in the most like easy to relate mom terms, you have the, you're going out on date night and you need a babysitter, right?
Ugh. Yes.
Your soft skills, you want someone who's going to be compassionate with your kids, put up with any tantrums maybe at bedtime, who can, you know, cook some mac and cheese, like play with them, keep them generally alive. Like those are like kind of some soft skills there. But you're going to
need 100%.
To create some very technical documentation for them, like the standard work of, this is where we're going. These are the phone numbers you may need in case of an emergency. Here's some help that can be provided by neighbors. This is the bedtime routine. At 8 o'clock, you're going to do bath time. And then you're going to read two books. I don't know if your kids are this particular, but mine were. Of like how
no, I just say good luck.
No. You're one of those?
I'm one of those. Hey, good luck. There's no routine. Just they've been just good luck.
They're feral.
They might tell you they want to go lay upstairs. They might say they want to lay down here. You'll see what happens.
It depends on the culture of the organization is what Ashley's getting at.
Yes, but I will say with the dogs, though, I am very particular with the rules on the dogs for our dog sitter.
So,
which is funny.
That's where I'm getting at. Like, those are the guidelines or the templates that you can provide. Obviously, they won't be for the babysitter and the bedtime routine. But there's two trains of thought of like, hey, you can figure it out. It'll be fine. Or like, here are some really basic details that you need. And move forward from here.
Exactly. And I think that goes for onboarding too, right? Like, who are your point of contacts? When this happens, you need to contact IT. Like, when your computer doesn't break, call IT. When you have issues with a client or manufacturing floor, go to your supervisor. If you need help with HR or payroll, you go to payroll. Like, really having those detailed things out are really important. And I mentioned earlier, like, there was a time where, yeah, I had to go off on medical, and I had a great team behind me that filled in and was able to, you know, rally. Shout out to, you know, my CMH folks who rallied behind that and be able to continue the organization and keep things running. And it was nice because everyone knew who to go to contact. So, like, my staff knew, hey, they needed to go to Cindy for things. Like, it was, like, very much they had it very much mapped out, as you say, like bedtime. This is where you need to go for this. This is where who you're going to ask for time off. This is who's going to sign your notes. And it was really helpful to already have that in place. And we kind of had a plan in place for maternity leave anyways, but it was just expedited and a little more erratic for the first probably 14 days than they wanted to. So, but it does really help. And in that experience, it's really helped me look at, from my staff currently in my leadership of like, this is what happens if anything were to happen to me, if I were to get hit by a bus, since I've already had that experience not getting hit by a bus, but these are the people that you need to be aware of. These are the people that you need to connect with. This is who's going to fall in line if I ever have to be out for whatever reason.
Yeah. One of my previous organizations did leadership standard work, and it had basically like the day-to-day, like high overview of the day-to-day tasks, weekly tasks, monthly, quarterly, yearly. And then I elaborated on that when I was leaving my plans to move into the next role. I didn't really have a training timeline for the next employee because it was an expedited move. And so what I added in there, which I got some really good feedback on, was meetings, recurring meetings.
Oh, yes.
Like the initial, you take over the meetings and you sit on them and you're like, do I need to prep for the meeting? Am I responsible for bringing content to this? Am I leading the meeting? Like, how does the meeting flow? That, to me, was so helpful. It doesn't have to be, obviously, for all meetings, but, like, the big ones that you have, I had a lot of, like, I'm going to have this one once a week. This one's every other week. This mm-hmm. is a checkup. And there's some that you had to build the data for.
Yeah, for that meeting. You're the leader yes. of the meeting. And you need to have the info, the agenda, the mm-hmm. stats, all the things that come. That's a great point you bring up about meetings. Sorry, I'm hijacking this now. But I mean, even when you're in the world of virtual work, well, like we do most of our meetings via Zoom, make sure when you do those calendar invites that somebody else can be the co-host or owner of the group. Like that's an automatic, I always recommend people, like make sure there's, because if you're not there, the meeting can still run. Mm-hmm. That people can still get on there. And if it's one of those routine meetings, people can still have those without you there. It's the ones that are really the ones you're leading, where you're collecting the agenda, you're collecting like the data Aaron said, that it might be helpful to have that in the meeting notes or agenda or just something so that whoever falls into place to take your place, they know what to prepare for. So business goes on as normal, as usual, which is an unfortunate and fortunate thing to say, but it, when you're talking about business and organizations, like you have to be able to still function.
Absolutely.
And that's why succession is so important and leadership development is so important to an organization's just livelihood.
Absolutely. And cannot state enough that things happen. And even if you think you have a plan, you're going to have to be able to pivot from your plan.
Yep. Flexibility is rule number one in my book.
Yes. Yes. But that's why it's important to do this. And so I think going back to, right, you've talked to your employees about what they want out of their career, what opportunities they're willing to do in addition to their day-to-day job so that they can grow and develop. You've had assessments on their, one, technical, but also really their soft skills for leadership and their coachability. And then the last thing is, how often are you doing this? How often are you having those conversations? When are you looking at your succession planning? I recommend having like a high organizational overview of succession planning once a year, tailored down. But then the leaders of their organization should be updating their charts every quarter with it, the very minimum of which employees are working on what developmental actions tied to their career development. Which you should be having employee check-ins. I think we talked about that in another one. This one's specifically mm-hmm. more for how does that check-in relate to career development within succession planning. But really focusing in on keeping those updated, again, so that way you have it if you need it. It's there.
Exactly.
You can put things into play.
You got a fallback plan.
Yeah,
exactly. You got a fallback plan. And, you know, I see the visual of the stairs, like the stair steps, like each step is a place where you could check in quarterly with your staff. Or I always like the idea of, hey, you're going to jump in on this meeting just to get an idea of what these things look like. And so if there's something you even want to explore, then you have your foot in the door. You've already understood some of the material, especially if, like Aaron said, if I'm going to be out and I need somebody else to take over my meeting, I'd be like, Aaron, jump on this meeting with me so you know some of the information. So when I'm out for FMLA or whatever the case may be, or vacation, you can jump in and take over the meeting, and it goes smooth. And you also get the experience. I mean, that's leading by mentorship right there. That's a way to really help build your staff, build culture. And also when things come down the pike, like in on the manufacturing floor, Aaron, like when you have to do those safety things and those things that you have to stop the process and change and do all those things. And in my world, like the compliance piece of things, now you understand the why. And the why is really huge to be able to use those soft skills to help teach other people. And so opening your eyes to the why really gives you a better understanding of why we do the things that we do, even if it frustrates us.
And there, I cannot tell you how grateful I am for some of the experiences that I had where I was a participant in the room compared to being the leader in the room. And there are some very vivid examples that I have, especially safety related, that I was so grateful that I had seen it once through the lens of someone else leading it before it was my turn to lead it. Because there was a lot of information that I had no idea about, or questions to ask that I had no idea about. But because I had gone at once before, I had some familiarity, and it made it less painful going through that experience.
Exactly. You got to know how to navigate conflict and just getting pummeled with questions, or, you know, why are we doing these things? This is not helpful. Or maybe this is helpful, but you have to be able to navigate those as a leader compared to as a participant. You can sit back, interject here and there, really take it in. But if you're leading those meetings, there is strategy when you're leading meetings in process change or development or staff meetings, because you have to be able to say, hey, we're gonna connect offline. You know, we'll schedule a sidebar meeting for this to explore more, because you don't want something that to take over your meeting. You want purpose, you want intentionality, you want to be able to move the needle. We go back to that wildly important goal. You want to be able to achieve your wildly important goal without being derailed because of a loud opinion, and the loud opinion may be worth listening, is probably going to be listening. You're going to want to listen to, but that might be a sidebar meeting.
Absolutely. So you can tell that Ashley and I are passionate about this. We've had a lot of conversations around it. But that's our brief,
Overview of succession.
The importance of succession planning. So hope you enjoyed this. As Ashley would say, hope you have a cup of coffee and a biscotti. Follow us on Instagram at coffeeshopconnections.podcast. Feel free to find us on Spotify, Apple, anywhere that your podcast listening may be at. And we will come back at you with another episode soon.